Greetings, salutations, and positive vibrations. This is Off the Post, the world-class football podcast. I'm your host, football journalist Nick Maitland, and today we have just a few things we have to discuss. I hope you had a good week so far, and I hope that wherever you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this, I hope you had a good football experience over the past week. Of course, over the past weekend, I took in some English Premier League football action. Chelsea's 1-0 loss to Manchester City brought a particular smile to my face, but I was still a little bit, you know, peeved because Manchester City got all 3 points, but that's okay. I also took in Manchester United's 1-0 loss at home to Aston Villa. That was a sad day for me. Arsenal beating Spurs 3-1 in the North London Derby. That was a spectacular game. I loved seeing the goals. It was good football all around, but Arsenal came out on top, 3 goals and 3 points. And just for my good friend Anmar Goodridge boys, Crystal Palace, his beloved Eagles, drew 1-1 with the Seagulls of Brighton and Hove Albion. So in lieu of local football action, I also took in some action from Coastal Bend College, you know, in this era of social media, technology, and unfortunately COVID-19. A lot of persons, sports teams especially, have resorted to live streaming because their fans cannot be with them in person in most cases to watch the games. So they've resorted to the online streaming. And Coastal Bend College, the home currently of talented teenage left back Andre Applewhite, he also went to Combermere School. His team had some streaming, had some game streaming, and I took in a few minutes. He wasn't playing, so admittedly, I didn't watch all of the game. But Coastal Bend College doing pretty good in their conference, and I expect good things from them and a successful season. And speaking of local football, remember a few weeks ago I reminded you that we have so many of our youngsters still playing their trade and going to school in the United States and other places. I think it's worth noting their names once again. Same Andre Applewhite, Niall Reid-Stephen, Thierry Gill, Abiola Grant, Axel Funk, Jamal Williams, Nashton Brown, and a whole host of others. But this week, I spoke to two of them, 17-year-old Tadjio James and 19-year-old Devontae Richards. Devontae actually celebrated his 19th birthday recently, and they attend the Feather River College in California. I spoke to them about the experience and how they found the guys, how they found the teammates, how they found just the standard of play in California, because in Barbados, we always have this, we downplay the quality that is actually on show in the United States. So those guys certainly got a reality check, and they checked in with me about how the experience has been going so far. Tadjio is studying health and exercise science, while Devontae is studying general studies with the goal of studying sports psychology or sports management at the bachelor level. So we spoke to them just to get their feel of California.
Football, I think it came out here around my set and saying that it was a bit too easy. Mm. But as it kept on playing, I think it got accustomed to it more. Get accustomed to how the coach wanted me to play. Because I'm playing a new position also. I'm playing on the wing. We did fairly well in preseason as we are in a playoff spot. And contract starts tomorrow and we have to start on a good note. So I'm looking for a win tomorrow. Looking to go out there and play our best.
Is it more comfortable knowing that you're there with Devontae and you got somebody from back home, somebody I know well?
Actually, I was going to another school and I came to this school because I thought it would be easier to be with another person, that someone that I'm close to, that I knew from the time I was young. Helped me to settle in faster and everything. And it did. And our teammates are friendly too. They weren't cocky. Although they were good players, they weren't cocky. They didn't try to be the best. They didn't try to let me everyone see that they're the best. They welcome us with open hands, and we all get along well. So it's a good experience out here.
Devontae gave me a similar impression as well.
So far is, I could call it an adventure. The school is located like in the woods. A little introduction to the wildlife, but I started to adapt to it and I like it so far. Sometimes here and there, outside will be cold, and that's the only thing. But other than that, like the school, it feels like a family being over here with everybody else and stuff. In terms of football, the level is really high. Like is even higher than I thought. Our coach is very experienced and he coached at a professional level. So he know what it takes for an athlete to get to that level. Playing under him is really good. And I feel like I'm getting better every single training session, every single game. The preseason end up does count as official games. So you play preseason for points. So
okay.
You get a ranking. The top six qualifies for playoffs. So in conference, we already right. We already in six going into conference. My teammates is like a lot of different cultures. Like we have players from Ireland, England. We have players from Scotland. Then we have some from America, obviously. We have some from Mexico. They're quality. One was at a professional club for 4 years before he decided he wanted to come to America and play football instead. I mean, and do school instead.
Mm-hmm.
One came out to Reading Academy. So, yeah, and the others played at a fairly good level in their home country. As mm-hmm. the coach recruited players based on the level they played and based on their quality. Based on preseason, already getting some goals and assists. Actually having the most goals on the team so far. I'm looking forward to keep that up, get into the All-American team.
That interview was held before their first conference game, and in their first conference game, Feather River College won 4-1, and young Tadjio James scored a hat-trick, and he got an assist as well. So the Bajans are doing the thing in California and, of course, all over the world. And as they say, all over the world, you can find a Bajan.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email e-paper support at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebel St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Speaking about college football, I would have really and truly started my football career in college. When I was at university, I decided, you know, I want to be in this football thing, this football media thing. And a good friend of mine and I, we went over to the UE Academy of Sport office. And I spoke to one of the brethren there. His name is Nevin Roach. I will always be indebted to Nevin. Great guy, Trinidadian as well. You know me, I love my Trinis. And Nevin gave me the opportunity to cover the University of the West Indies Blackbirds, their football season. They were playing in Division I at the time. And it was a very fruitful experience. I covered them in Division I. I also covered them in the Knockout Cup. They went to the stadium and did very well. And I also covered their promotion to the Premier League. And that was a real remarkable moment for me in my career and a watershed moment for me. From there, I hooked up with my longtime brethren, my OG, Andy Akili Thornhill, and we were working on Football Fiesta. I was on the show from about 2014 to 2020. 6 unbroken years, 6 very beneficial years for my career, learning radio and learning at the feet of a master in Andy Thornhill, and I guess rightfully so, I have graduated. But on Football Fiesta, I met a very interesting fellow, Marky Mark Allen. He used to play football in Barbados. He is Barbadian. He used to play in our local league. He also coached and played overseas in England. He's a lifelong Chelsea fan, I guess part-time Chelsea employee as well. He's Chelsea through and through, blue and blue. And I spoke to him about his experience in Barbados and also something serious that is going on in our football game. This is just one of the many conversations that Mark and I have. We have so many of them and we just don't record them. But this is one I really wanted him to introduce himself to the Off the Post family and also share his thoughts on something a little bit more serious. That's not something we're accustomed to. We always have jovial conversations. But this time, for Off the Post, the world-class football podcast, we had to speak about this particular issue.
As a fan, it started from 1961. So it goes way back when I was 5 years old. My first game at Chelsea was when I was 5 years old. I went to Chelsea versus Everton. Excited as a little kid, obviously 5 year old. And my mum's neighbour took me to the game. Chelsea versus Everton was 1-1. I can always remember who first goal ever scored at Chelsea was Peter Baybrook. But that's my first Chelsea game. I still hold the programme as well. Chelsea versus Everton, 1-1. That's how it started. Ended up being an employee, then being a ball boy, ended up working there. So, you know, it goes on and goes on.
Employee, was this an on-field employee, part of the playing staff or the non-playing staff?
Looking after the match days, looking after the players, you know what I mean? Mainly that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Well, still is actually, because I'm kind of semi-retired now, because I did retire when I was 60 years old, but as you all know, I keep going back there, keep calling me back and I keep going back and still working there, still an employee.
What do you think about the current crop?
Yes, of interest, as I said, Thomas Tuchel has done a fantastic job, took over from Frank and changed that team, actually transformed that team. As I said, obviously, Champions of Europe, you had to put that bit in there.
Yes, and, of course.
Yeah, done that. Wasn't able to go to the final. I know I was in Barbados at the time, so I'm back in Barbados looking after some older folks. That's why I'm back here. Then I left to go to, obviously hoping to go to Porto, had my ticket and everything ready to go, but I couldn't beat the quarantine times, So I missed the trip of going to Porto. But I got to go to the Dub. I got to go to the Super Cup final in Dublin, so that was good, actually.
So what are your expectations for this season? Lukaku's looked pretty good in the opening games. Some rotations in midfield, but still doing fairly okay. Lost to Manchester City on the weekend. But what are your general hopes and maybe thoughts about this season upcoming?
I've got some good thoughts about the season coming, but you would know why. And I have to tell you, you know why Chelsea got beat Man City. I think you would know, because you're one of the persons that always reminded when Chelsea got early morning games, they don't wake up.
Yeah.
Remember that? We had discussion for years now.
Maybe the same thing happened to Manchester United in their game at home to Aston Villa.
Chelsea just don't do mornings. I don't know what it is about Chelsea morning games, 12:30 games. We don't wake up. I don't know what it is. I've been telling that for years, as I've known you, right? I always worry that they don't wake up. And you saw the way they played against Man City. They didn't wake up.
Why is that though? I mean, regardless of manager, regardless of players, is the same thing. And you've been saying this for years.
I'll be saying, don't worry, players, managers, do not matter who comes there, what players are playing, it's always the same result. We struggle against big teams, small teams, whatever, whenever we play in the morning. I just do not know what it is. Can't put my finger on it. Because none of the managers can do the same either.
Aside from Chelsea, aside from our usual chats on the podcast, I had a few reflections couple of weeks ago, and one of those reflections was on the racism in football. I know you would have seen the whole fallout regarding England's players, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling, Bukayo Saka, and the racist abuse that they would have suffered on social media. You know, across England, there's a lot of debate about kneeling before games. A lot of players are saying, well, it's losing its power now. It's losing its significance. But generally, your thoughts on this rampant racism that seems to be taking over the beautiful game?
Well, racism is not just in football, right? I've got to get that straight first. It's not in football, right? It's actually people. If people make this racism as a thing, you know what I'm saying? Because racism ain't just about sport. Don't matter what country you go, England, Hungary, Russia, wherever you go in the world, racism is always going to be there. It's a colour thing. As long as black and white, someone's always going to have something to say. I went to Chelsea in the 60s and growing up and going to football. I mean, I heard racism all the time, 24/7. I grew up hearing it. As I said, I'll be honest, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Closing one end, one out the other. I was always a sticks and stone person. Trust me, when it comes to racism, you know what I mean? Being honest. But everybody handles things different. I mean, you can go, I've been on a field, obviously, as a black player, and you're booed. Or you got, people players nowadays, monkey chants and this sort of thing, such and such. But some players, as I know some players, how they can react different to that. Some players obviously react and get very annoyed, and some players, it steals them on. You know what I mean? Encourage them to do better. You know what I mean? And to prove a point, score a goal, keep the crowd quiet. You understand what I'm saying? So it's down to the individual, but racism is a thing that, in my lifetime, I can't see it ever going away, to tell the truth. I can't really see it going away.
Wow. Really and truly, I get what you're saying, because it seems so deeply entrenched and it seems almost a part of football, almost a part of sports. So it seems like we are never, ever getting away from this thing. But I do agree with you. It's sad, and some players react to it differently, but they shouldn't have to react to something like that. That shouldn't be something they have to react to. I understand the boos and the jeers and the whistles, yes, but the monkey chants and other name calling is really uncalled for, and it just spoils the beautiful game. Another aspect of that was, I remember Raheem Sterling was celebrating his goal the other day. I think it was against Hungary. I stand to be corrected. He was hit with a beer, and Declan Rice and Jack Grealish took up some of the beer cups, and you know, were taunting the crowd. I remember seeing Erling Haaland's goal for Borussia Dortmund about 2 weeks ago. Jude Bellingham, another black English footballer, he was on Haaland's back and he caught a beer from the stands. And racism aside, even though we cannot really separate racism from football, unfortunately, speaking as a football fan and speaking from your role at Chelsea, you know, protecting players and, you know, being that guide for the players almost, what do you think about banning alcohol from football games? Because it seems like abuse and throwing of beers and beverages is all part and parcel.
Well, some games at Chelsea, right, depending on who the opponent team, right, you won't be able to buy alcohol on the premises at all. They do ban certain games. I know we had certain away teams come on, I can't remember exact countries that came as an away team, a European night, and no beer at all. We've had some even local, like Premiership teams that come and they ban the beer as well, you know what I mean, because of the reaction they've had before of them going to other grounds and causing havoc. Yeah. So, that, you know what I mean, but they will get beer before they, some of them come, what we call tanked up, we have obviously had a lot of beer, consumed dinner before they get to the ground anyway, you know what I mean, so when they come here, you know what I mean, so when they get to the ground, they will still react.
Well, racism is a really ugly thing that we have to force out of our beautiful game, but it's going to take the collective effort of all of us. And, you know, Persons always raising awareness towards it. The players are trying their best to root it out. But I think that we as a society, we have to work together and work harder to eradicate racism.
It's all right, England complain about when Sterling goes to Hungary or goes to these other countries and get them banned. We can ban them in England as well, because England's got the same thing as well. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to say to you. Sports, yeah, but it's a society thing, and these countries, different society, got different ways of looking at things. And that's what it is, a society thing, which we have to stamp it out first. We've got to try and stamp it out in society before we can attack it by sports. Sports, yeah, but society, the actual person walking down the street, you know what I mean? That's the problem, that's what we got to work on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of racism is built with, as I said, with kids growing up, you know what I mean? Because, okay, kids are not born racist. It's appearance.
Yeah, it's taught.
Right? Talk to him. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Kids are not born racist. I mean, you know, but I went to school with black. I went to go to Chelsea with white fellas. You know, we used to go hang out together. It's no problem at all. Weren't racist at all. But then you would get someone that don't like a black person because their parents have told them not to hang with black people, not to be with black people. So it's taught from the parents growing up.
You're correct, Marky. And we just have to hope and pray and wish the best for our world.
Yes, brothers and sisters, Mark will be with us for more in the future to discuss the happenings of world football and give us the inside scoop, especially from the Chelsea angle. But for now, that is the final whistle on this week's Off the Post podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have been your host, Nick Maitland. Remember, love conquers all, and let's work together to spread more love in our society. Let's stamp out racism for the benefit of the beautiful game, but not just the beautiful game, this beautiful world that we have and that we enjoy daily. Stay tuned to this space for the latest football news and analysis, commentary from beautiful Barbados, the resplendent region, and the whole wide world. Thank you for joining me for Off the Post. Take care and be good. If you can't be good, be great. And if you can't be great, at least be grateful. Take care. See you later.